Okay, if you want to prepare your Bibles, we'll be in Proverbs chapter 24 to start with tonight. The end of our study last week, we were talking about the evil thoughts that proceed out of our heart, along with murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. And the evil thoughts are right there in that same list. And that's what the Bible said in Matthew 15, 19. And so we understand how serious a thing it is, and that we ought to avoid those evil thoughts because our thoughts will lead to all those other evil things. That's where it all begins. And so God expects us to keep ourselves from having those evil thoughts, just the same as he expects us not to murder, not to fornicate, not to steal. Okay, well, the next, continuing on there, the next thing we'll look at tonight is going to be in Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24, if you're like me, you don't have to go searching for wrong thinking. It just kind of shows up unbidden and uninvited. And so I don't want to feed it. I don't want to promote it. But look what the Bible says in Proverbs 24, verse number 9. The thought of foolishness is sin. Wouldn't that be something? You walk into the psychiatrist's office and they got that verse up on the wall. Here's my certification papers, educated at Cal Berkeley. Thought for the day, verse of the day. The thought of foolishness is sin. You know what the Lord said? If you lied to me, that would be a sin. If I stole something from you, it would be a sin. If I harmed your child, it would be a sin. And if your thoughts were not governed by God, it's a sin. That's the Bible. Why are we calling things something other than what God calls them? God calls foolish thoughts sins. I'll tell you something else. There was something that my parents wouldn't allow any of us to say. We were not allowed to say two things. And that is, I couldn't help it. And it wasn't my fault. It was just forbidden. Those words were forbidden. I couldn't help it. They'd tell me, well, you better help it. My dad would say, you better help it or figure out a way that you can help it. And then I'd turn to my mom and she'd say, don't look at me. I can't get you out of this one. You were expected to help it. And then it's not my fault. Well, you were the one that knocked the plate off the table and the plate broke. So whose fault is it? Was it the guy who made the table because he failed to put a rail around it so it could catch plates? No, it's your fault. This generation, man, they can't help anything, it seems. And everything is somebody else's fault. Those of you who are over 50, I don't know if there is any of you, except I know one, can you imagine getting $50,000 from a business because you tripped over the threshold of the door and skinned your nose? What court would hear that? But nowadays, it's a gold mine. People don't even need to get a job anymore. They just need to go around looking for ways that they can sue somebody. Let's see, I'm going to sue the threshold maker. I'm going to sue the store. I'm going to sue the county for not having a sign up that warns that you could trip over a threshold. I'm going to sue the sidewalk maker because they didn't put a pad on the sidewalk in case somebody trips on the threshold and hits their nose. You might have noticed, another thing is cities are paying lots of money putting up guardrails on sidewalks so that they don't have to pay $70,000 to every drunk who falls off the sidewalk, lands in a ditch. So I'm trying to show you how crazy this world is that we're living in. You know what that is? That is mental illness. The whole society is mentally ill. And the Bible says the thought of foolishness is sin. Go to the New Testament, Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. And then we'll go back to Matthew chapter 15 after that. Romans 2. Okay, evil thoughts come from a bad heart. Proverbs 24:9. And then foolish thoughts are sin. And then Romans 2, beginning in verse number 14. Romans 2:14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. All right. Here's what God said. If you were in your right mind, unsaved, a Gentile without the scriptures, your thoughts would condemn you when you violated God's ways, and your thoughts would approve when you were in line with God's ways. You know how this society has been given over to a reprobate mind? They have no conscience of sin. When your mind, every time I get on an airplane, I got to be greeted by someone wearing a rainbow button that says, "We support sodomites." What's the deal with that? Could one person wear a button that says, we support heterosexuals? Could one company fly a flag that says, "We honor straight people here"? It's really bizarre, isn't it? It catches you off guard. especially when I go back to the U.S., I mean, however you feel about that, something is really strange when the entire society feels like we have to give honor to people who are doing something that the Bible clearly says is wrong. Every night on some channel, there's going to be a show about bad cops being mean to somebody who's looting a store. There won't be one show about a store owner who lost his house because he couldn't pay his mortgage because those bums kept robbing him. The whole society can't think straight. Personally, I believe if you can convince a jury beyond a reasonable doubt that a preacher has molested a child, well, he should be executed. But where are the nonstop stories about stay away from the public schools because school teachers molest children? There are more school teachers messing with kids than there are preachers messing with kids. But all you hear about from your media is how wonderful the schools are and how awful churches are. The thing is messed up. But you know what the Bible said? If you were in your right mind, you would know what is good and what is evil. You say, well, what about sin? You know what that man ate in the garden? Or that man, you know what he ate? You know what that woman ate? They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You understand that? They know. You don't need a Bible to teach heathen people that it's wrong to murder. You've got to send educators there to teach them that it's okay. It's messed up. It's really messed up. Now, you might have been a drunkard before you got saved. But before you were a drunkard, there was something that was inside you that was scared to death to put that booze in your mouth. It wasn't a preacher that was sitting there preaching against it. There was something inside you that said, this is wrong. This is wrong. Most things that you got used to doing as a sinner, when you started out doing that stuff, you had to sneak off somewhere where nobody could see you so that you could do them. You knew it was wrong. Okay? Not a preacher, not a Bible, but God put right inside you something that said you shouldn't be doing it. And so you hid yourself. And he said right there, unsaved Gentiles, in their minds, they accuse and excuse one another in line with God's law. So a right mind is not that far away. A sound mind is not that difficult to attain. All right, now let's go to God's couch. Psalm 139. And then Amos chapter 4. Psalm 139 and Amos 4. And in Psalm 139, let's look at verse number 1, 1 and 2. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. You see that? Look, it doesn't say God knows what I'm thinking. It says he understands my thought, not thoughts, my thought. God knows how we think. Well, then wouldn't he be a good person to turn your thinking over to? He knows how it works. All right, Amos chapter 4. Amos chapter 4, verse number 13. For lo, he that formeth the mountains, well, that's powerful. And createth the wind. That's powerful. And declareth unto man what is his thought that maketh the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high places of the earth. The Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. I like that. I like this. This, maybe you're struggling with this whole thing that we've been looking at. Maybe you're struggling with this whole idea that you could ever be victorious in your thinking, in your thought life. Well, here's what God said. Hey, I made the mountains. I made the wind. I tread on the high places of the earth, and I can govern your thoughts. Now, if God can make mountains and wind, couldn't he help you think straight? You see what he's doing? He's comparing the great things that he's done, and then he puts our thought life in there and says, I can handle it. I'm big enough. I'm strong enough. I'm powerful enough. Did you know if tonight I have a chemical imbalance, did you know there's one person in this entire universe who knows what the chemical balance should be? And knows every chemical that's out of balance and knows how to compensate for it so that I can function. And of course, that would be God. That would be God. If tonight I become bipolar, see, I'm using terms that they use to try to convince you that you're crazy. Bipolar is one of them. Well, who better to help me than the one who made the North Pole, and the South Pole. I mean, God, he's pretty good at dealing with poles. All right, Isaiah chapter 26. You know what God is saying in both of those verses? I am big enough to fix your brain. If anybody can do it, I can do it. Isaiah 26. And I'm going to say again, I believe there are people whose minds, whose brains, and I'm not sure where the dividing line is between those two, are damaged. And they will not be repaired in this life. I believe that. I believe that. I know people and they're mentally incapacitated. But that's one out of the thousands of people who have been told that they are. They're not, but they've been told that they're mentally incapacitated. Now, before you surrender to the decrees of shrinks who don't believe in God and believe that you came from apes, I want you to read this verse, Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. So here's all I'm asking. Before you declare yourself insane or mentally ill, have you put your mind on God and kept it there? And when you put your mind on God, did you put your mind on a God who is your enemy, or a God who is cruel, or a God who is unfair, or a God who didn't make your life go the way that he should have? Or have you put your mind on a God you trust? And the Lord said the cure for your lack of peace in your mind is trusting God. And, you know, there's some horrific things that happen to people, and it causes them to question God. Like they have a family member in the hospital, and they're in a coma, clinging to life because some drunk driver smashed into them on the freeway. And that family member goes to see a preacher and asks him, why did God let this happen to him? Well, if the preacher is honest, he'll tell him, I don't know. And you don't know. Nobody knows. But here's what I do know. You're going to lose your mind if you don't trust God. Because if you don't trust God, well, your body is still broken. Your family is still messed up. You're still in pain. But now the comforter, and the one that brings you joy and peace and hope, now you're at war with him on top of everything else. You know, I don't know why one person gets lupus and another person doesn't. I don't know why one person is in the hospital repeatedly and another person never has a bad checkup at the doctor. I don't know why one person can't find a job and another person gets job offers thrown at them all the time. I don't know why, but if you can't trust God, you are going to lose your mind. Because, hey, I'm telling you, this world isn't going to change. It's going to keep being what it is. Unfair, cruel, sin colliding with sin, the wages of sin evident everywhere you look. I don't know why. I don't know why, other than Adam, you know, by one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin. There it is. That's all I can offer you. But you better trust God. You better get your mind on God and keep your mind on God and not in a bitter way, not in an angry way, not in a doubting way, but trusting God. And until you've tried trusting God, we can't diagnose whether or not you're mentally ill or just mentally unwilling. If you're willing and you have tried and your mind is broken, we will comfort you. We will comfort the feeble-minded, like the Bible tells us to. But we're not going to allow a bunch of people who could have a sound mind to drug themselves away from reality because they won't trust God. That's what we want. That's what we want. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, next. 2 Corinthians 10. Still on God's couch here. Isaiah 26:3, keep your mind on God. 2 Corinthians 10, verse number 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Well, I'm saved. Are you saved? I've got a Bible. You got a Bible? I read my Bible. Do you read your Bible? But you know what? Still, I have had times when I was listening to Bible preaching while I'm driving along in my car. And that preacher that I'm listening to, he quote a verse from the Bible, and that verse would capture my mind. And all of a sudden here, I'm thinking about a situation that happened to me, a situation that seems to refute what the Bible just said. For example, I'll be riding down the road listening to a preacher. He says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. They that sow to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. They that sow to the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. Aren't those great verses? All right, so I hear those verses and I start thinking, well, man, you know, I've tried to sow to the Spirit and this went wrong and that went wrong and this thing went wrong. And then I start thinking about somebody that did me wrong. And I think, well, you know, that guy, that was flesh. That guy really hurt me, saying things about me that shouldn't be said. And man, look at him. He's doing great. He's in good health. He has a good job, a family that loves him. He sowed to the flesh, but he didn't reap corruption. This is all going on in my mind now. And you know, I'm riding down the road and the preacher is preaching at the same time. And I'm thinking evil thoughts against God because he hasn't punished somebody that did something to me. You know what I have to do? I have to purpose in my heart to tell those thoughts, get out of here. I'm not going to sit here with the Bible being preached and get bitter against God because he hasn't run the world to my liking. There's not one of you joining me here tonight who hasn't thought about something today that you shouldn't have thought of. But you can't stay there. That's the point here. Bible says you need to arrest that thought, cast it in a pit, and put a stone over the mouth of that pit. You know, and just say, I'm not going to think about that. And God, by the way, God didn't say he would do it for you. He told you to bring every thought into captivity. Look at this in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, verse number 8. Philippians 4, 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. So do you know what God just did there? He told you what to think about. If you're not thinking about what God told you to think about, we are not ready to declare you mentally ill. We are going to declare you mentally unwilling. Oh, I think I'm losing my mind. Well, what have you been thinking about? I mean, honestly, what have you been thinking about? What have you been dwelling on? I mean, here, if I spent all day long thinking about Trump, politics, Palestinians, transgenders, gangs, illegal immigrants, liberals, Russia and Ukraine, school shootings. Man, by the end of the day, I want to jump out of a moving car. End it all now. But if I spent my day thinking about things that are true, well, that eliminates the media. Things that are honest, that rules out politics. Things that are just, that rules out the corrupt court system. Things that are pure, that rules out Hollywood, of course. Things that are lovely, that rules out most of the people I know. And I'm not talking about their appearance either, because people are hateful. They don't care about other people. They don't. Okay. Lovely. Okay. Things of good report. Okay. Report. What could you report? That's good. Is there something that happened in your town that we would allow you to stand up in the church and talk about it? You know what the Lord said? I want you thinking about true things, honest things, just things, pure things, lovely things. Are you doing that? If you're not doing that, you are feeding yourself insanity. Trust God with your thoughts. Bring every thought into captivity and select proper subjects for thought. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55, and look at verse number 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Okay, so it says, let the wicked forsake his way. Okay, aren't we okay with that first phrase? You should stop drinking. You should stop cussing. You should stop looking at nasty pictures. You should stop lying. You should stop going to those places. Yeah, we're all about the wicked forsaking his way. Okay. But what about the thoughts? See, we're not as diligent in preaching against and ridding ourselves of bad thoughts as we are bad actions. But you know what the Lord said? You want a sound mind? Do you want to enjoy that sound mind that I gave you? I gave you a right mind. Do you want to use it? Then stop entertaining improper thoughts. Listen, people would not walk into a church wearing a bikini. They would not walk into a church carrying cans of beer. They would not walk into a church carrying a dirty magazine. But they would walk into a church with judgmental thoughts, and hateful thoughts, and bitter thoughts, and critical thoughts, and proud thoughts, and think nothing of that, because somehow actions need to be governed, yeah, but thoughts don't need to be governed. And that's not what God said. So do you want to enjoy the sound mind? Because you have one. If you're saved, you have one. Do you want to enjoy the right mind God gave you? Then be as diligent in cleaning up your mind as you are in cleaning up your outward appearance and how people see you. Okay, that's what he's saying here. Now look in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Our church started in the living room of one brother's house back in May of 1996. And from that little group of believers, we have come to know many more people who have come and who have gone. And it's a blessing when we learn that one of them went back to their homeland and started a church or became a vital part of the ministry there. But the other side of it is that it's heartbreaking when you know that someone left the church and went back to their old worldly ways. And you think to yourself, I know that man had all that potential. He was really growing. He was growing in the spirit. But look at him now. He's out in that world. This person had everything going for him in their spiritual life. They're out in the world. And you say, boy, he started doing this. She started doing that. See, you're looking in the wrong place. You're looking at their actions, what they did. It's not what they started doing. Let me show you here. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. All right, so here's Abraham. Okay, back here is a place that Abraham left. He can't see it anymore, but it's back there. Up here is a glorious place that God has for him. And he hasn't seen it yet, but it's out there. What determines what Abraham does today is which one of those things he's thinking about. If he's thinking about going on for God, that's where he's going. If he's thinking about going back where he left, that is where he's going. Before you do that stuff, you think about it. Before you serve God, you think about it. You know, we're so focused on the outward stuff. Oh, I'd never do that. I'd never do that. I'd never do that. We're so focused on that outward stuff. You know, can you sit there in your mind and think things that you know are sinful, okay, then you could do anything. If you can think it, you can do it, okay? Never say never. So that's why it's so important. We guard these things. We'll guard ourselves from these things. You know, somebody walks into a theater and they shoot a bunch of people. And immediately the news media says, oh, the gun. And then two or three days later, the news media says, well, you know, according to this person's social media postings, this man had this mental issue and that mental issue and this other mental issue. Well, who needs the news to tell you that? He just shot a bunch of people for no reason. You know, what he did was the result of how he was thinking. You don't need to waste any money investigating that. Nobody accidentally straps explosives to their vest and drives into a store and blows the place up. Somebody had to be thinking about that. You say, I don't know what happened to that guy. He was right here in church, and now he's gone out there. No, he was right there in church, but he was gone out there while he sat in church. So tonight, the evaluation is not what we have seen or what we see one another doing. The evaluation is in your mind, where do you want to be? God expects us to deal with those thoughts. Okay, let's finish up with a promise. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs 16. So God's work, he gave us a gift, a sound mind, right mind, and the mind of Christ. No excuses. Evil thoughts come from a bad heart. Foolish thoughts are a sin. And then God's couch, he knows our thoughts. We are to keep our mind on God and in trust. We are to bring every thought into captivity. We are to select proper subjects for thought. And we are to forsake unrighteous thoughts. Now look at these promises. Proverbs 16, verse 3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Hallelujah. If you would make a genuine commitment to obey God and to trust God, he would fix your mind. That's what he said. Go to chapter 21 in Proverbs. Proverbs 21, verse number 5. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. Okay, let me finish up here. Here's what God told me to do. He told me to govern my thoughts. He told me to control my thoughts. He told me to bring my thoughts into captivity. He told me to decide what I was going to think about and to think about it. You know, we're in a third generation now of a people who, from the time they could sit up, they stare mindlessly at some sort of video entertainment, and they don't have a thought from the time they get up until the time they fall asleep, except, I'm thirsty, I'm hungry, I got to get up and go to the bathroom. Please, pause it, please. You know, and the rest of the day, it's just, you know, a blank, mindless stare. And God is telling that generation to diligently govern their thoughts. They are so mentally crippled by the time they're 16, it's a wonder that they can find their way to the remote control to select another movie. That's how bad it is. And so you go to church, and I don't know if you realize what a miracle it is that you can take the content of the preaching that you can sit for 45 minutes and pay attention to a man who's just talking. It's a miracle. You can do that. We don't have video screens. We don't have light shows. We're not changing and raising the mood with lights in our church service. We don't have to show you pretty pictures with a scripture verse while I'm preaching. Jesus is the good shepherd. Picture, shepherd, sheep. Oh, you know, I tell you, people, they're so brain dead. To communicate truth to them is almost impossible because it requires attention. But now, everywhere you go out to a restaurant these days, they got a TV screen for you to view while you eat, so you don't have a nervous breakdown from withdrawal. Oh, I got to get home. Why? Oh, I don't know. 'Cause there's nothing to watch. It's weird, man. This generation can't even watch the old movies from the 40s and 50s. Why? 'Cause there's too much talking and not enough action. They got to have those images changing and changing and changing quickly to keep their attention. They get bored easily. Why? 'Cause people can't think today. And so God says, I want you to control every thought that you have in your mind. Are you kidding? It'd be like asking me to run a marathon. I'm not equipped to do that. So you've got a generation of people, they get saved, and you've got to give them half of a verse on a view screen and then tell them how wonderful they are for 15 minutes and let them go home. They can't handle a real sermon. You know, we criticize the mega church, and we do for their methods, but their methods, if you think about it, their methods are the only thing that they can use on this generation. You got to give them a rock band and some dancing girls and a light show because they can't sit still otherwise. It's VBS for 50-year-olds in those mega churches. But you don't move them from one room to another. You just change the room every 10 minutes. But you know what the Lord said? Before you declare yourself mentally ill, let's determine whether or not you're just mentally unwilling. I want to be in better physical shape. They just haven't made the pill yet for that. I don't want to do what you have to do to be in better physical shape. And a lot of people, they want mental health as long as it comes in a pill. They don't want to do what it takes to be strong mentally. But there it is in the Bible. That's the way to do it. God tells you how to do it. All right, so I've said this twice. I'll say it one more time. If you have a really, really bad headache, nobody's going to criticize you for taking something to get you some relief. But you need to find out what's causing the bad headaches and address that. Okay? If you're thinking about taking your life or somebody else's life, take something really quick, whatever it takes to get you past that. But let's figure out what's causing that. Okay? Amen. Let's stop there. Heavenly Father, thank you again, Lord, for putting in your word, what we need to do to keep our minds strong and healthy. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to trust the world's ways of dealing with the mental problems. Thank you, Lord, that everything is so clear. It will just do it, Lord. I know it's work. It requires some diligence on our part. We just pray, Lord, you'd help us to be willing to do what you say, so that we can keep our minds sharp, so that we can be of use to you, of use to the lost, so we can take your word to them, show them our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.